Blog Talk Radio.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and we have a great show lined up this evening.
Yes, we do. It's season 5, episode 39. The topic is the GOP's uncivil war. So Kevin McCarthy, as you just heard in that clip, is out as House Speaker. Who do you think will be next to fill the important post so we can get on with the running of the business of government? Republicans have proven yet again they cannot govern and are in shambles. Democrats show they have their act together and united, as all 208 Democrats voted to oust McCarthy. And 8 Republicans, led by Matt Gaetz, Rapey McForehead from Florida, he was part of the 8 people rebel who made up with Democrats to oust him. Because remember, you need 217 votes to get Speaker of the House. And McCarthy failed miserably, like he always do, like any other Republican always do. They fail. This is what they do. They fail. From Trump right down, they're worthless. As we march towards the 2024 election, we break down the latest in Washington, D.C. Thanks for joining the broadcast. Call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all background noises and be respectful to both the host and anybody else who may be online. Glad you could join us tonight. Visit our website at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, Lori, mm-hmm. So my big question here is, since the Speaker's chair is vacated, does the government business go on? And, you know, you have that thing about committee assignments, because, you know, when there's a new Speaker, which one hasn't been elected yet, the assignments are given to the different people, ranking member for the Democrats and chairperson for the different committees in the House, you know. So I wonder how that goes. Since McCarthy has been vacated his seat, you know, does it mean that McCarthy will step aside as even a congressman,
yes.
Because remember, Newt Gingrich stepped down as Speaker
mm-hmm.
and then resigned. John
mm-hmm.
Boehner from Ohio did the same thing. Steny Hoyer from Illinois did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What's his face from Wisconsin? Paul Ryan did
mm-hmm.
the same thing. You know, so they have a track record of, you know, being abysmal failures. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when they vacate the speaker's chair, they resign. So Will McCarthy does the same thing. So I want to hear from everybody tonight, you know, whether you're calling in America or anywhere in Europe or the Caribbean
mm-hmm.
or Latin America. We love having new folks on and everything. Like I say, the number to call is 515-605-9802. And special hello
mm-hmm.
to the Democrats on Capitol Hill. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're looking forward to hearing from people, you know, whether on
mm-hmm.
the federal level or state level or, you know, local races in the different states, because we promote Democrats here. We want the progressives to win in 2024 because Democrats
yes.
are doing an outstanding job, which they did a better job in getting the message out, because that's where our problem lay, getting the message out,
mm-hmm.
because Joe Biden, with the help of Democrats, you know, pass major legislation that help America. Republicans have no clue what they're doing. You know, when I said
yeah.
no to Joe Biden, they have nothing in return to say, hey, okay, we're against this, but we are for this. You know, the only thing they're
mm-hmm.
for, basically, is giving tax cuts to the wealthy, whether individual or corporations. And also trickle-down economics haven't worked. So, you know, we can't do much better than that. As I said, Democrats have done well under Joe Biden. And for the first 2 years in the administration under Joe Biden, what has he accomplished, the Biden-Harris administration? He gave $15 an hour to federal workers and contractors. He cut the contracts that the Department of Justice had with private prisons.
Mm-hmm.
He reinstated the Paris Climate Agreement. He put us back into the World Health Organization, invested $500 million into the HBCU, that's historically black colleges and universities. He appointed the first black woman onto the Supreme Court, helped over 8.2 million Americans struggle with the medical debt that they have, brought the
mm-hmm.
medical debt from $200 billion down to $88 billion. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris administration added over 30 million jobs to the economy because it was in a slump
mm-hmm.
After the COVID-19 pandemic. The previous administration under Trump did nothing. You know, as I said,
mm-hmm.
Republicans are failures. He pulled us out of Afghanistan. He kept the cost of insulin at $35 per month. He cut $1,400 stimulus checks for Americans. He invested over $60 billion in creating manufacturing jobs. So there was a great insourcing of jobs. Unlike the previous administration, you know, he onshored over 350,000 jobs, put a pause on U.S. giving weapons to Saudi Arabia, passed the COVID relief package, expanded unemployment benefits to millions of Americans, reunited over 500 migrant children with their families. You know, the previous administration put them in cages and tore them apart and adopted them, gave them up for adoption, which I had no right to. How dare they? Enrolled over 60 million Americans onto health insurance, which they didn't have at the get-go. Lowering health care costs and energy costs for many households. The Joe Biden administration canceled $10,000 to $20,000 in student debt per borrower. But they passed the bipartisan gun reform, first time in 30 years. Any president and any party has done that. You know, so good going for the Republicans who work with, you know, the Congress or the U.S. Senator from Connecticut in passing that bipartisan gun reform. He lowered gas prices to under $3.50 per gallon. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration passed the PACT Act, which gave health care to veterans who were exposed to toxic burns, the burn pits. Significantly lower drone strikes. You know, so Joe Biden is doing a lot of work and everything. This
mm-hmm.
is why We are excited on the show to promote the campaign to re-elect President Biden and Vice President Harris in 2024. And with the help of Democratic senators, governors, congresspeople like Nancy Pelosi, Gretchen Whitmer, Ilhan Omar, Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, Gavin Newsom, and many others, you know, especially my congressional delegation led by Melanie Stansbury, we're going to win in 2024, and we're going to win big. You think LBJ won big in 1964 and Reagan won big in 1980? 2024, hopefully, Democrats will like sweep across the board. You know, I don't want Republicans in there because they're jokers. It's like clowns running a circus, really. So, you know, we look forward to hearing the calls tonight and everything. And we'll have our first caller. And we're going to get through to that caller in just a moment. So you have any first words, Lori? What do you think about the vacating of the seat?
Well, before we do that, I want to thank Kelly. She is the one that sent all that Biden administration information. She is a she listens to our show. She's always, you know, she's writing all the time. She is a Biden Harris for 2024 and a wonderful Democrat. So I want to thank her for sending that, all that information. It takes time to do. So, and Kelly is listening right now. I don't know if she wants to say anything, but that's up to her. So let's go on to about Speaker McCarthy for a moment. And you did ask if the House hat was going to do I mean, what they could do and not do. And it sounds like from what I've read, they can do much of nothing. It looks like until a speaker is chosen, it likely cannot conduct votes on legislation like pending fiscal 2024 spending bills. Now, we know that in 30-some days, they have to start the budget fight all over again. Will they have a speaker? Will they maybe have Jim Jordan? And we're going to go through and talk a little bit about that in a second. But let's talk about McCarthy and how he was very ungracious to the Democrats and basically blamed the Democrats for being ousted, which is not true at all. They did unite. They did vote to oust him. Yes, they did. But they didn't start the fight. Jim Jordan started the fight. And when you know, Speaker McCarthy went back on his word with President Biden, they started talking about the budget agreement and Ukraine and so forth. So why should they trust McCarthy at all? He went back on his word anyways. So if he were to remain, what's to say that in 45 days or 30-some days, he would change his mind? He wouldn't. I really doubt that he would.
Kevin McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy is a pathologically mendacious person, just like so is Matt Gaetz and most of the Republicans in there. Look at George Santos. He basically lied to be elected, you know. So, you know, pathologically mendacious people, all of them. You know, there's not one good Republican in there. From what I see, there's no moderate Republicans. They're all, for the most part, I should say, because there's some good Republicans out there who are in the party and everything. But why they don't come up, step forward, and speak on behalf of the good Republicans out there? Because as far as I see it, you know, a lot of Trumpers have taken over the party, and it's frightening. You know, they're so gone far right wing. It make Genghis Khan look like he's not trying. It make Adolf Hitler blush the way they're right wing. It's very frightening. Imagine if they were successful in January 6, 2021, when they had that riot on Capitol Hill, where people broke into a Capitol building and peed all over the floor, broke into Nancy Pelosi's office, stole her computer, what have you. You know, so that was a dry run, and hopefully in 2025, in January, when votes are, you know, like tallied by Congress and verified, that we'll have that again, because American democracy, too much is at stake. You know, we fought long and hard these, these things that we have today from the forefathers right now. And so it's irresponsible for the Republicans and their supporters to do what they did in 2021. Shame on them and how dare them. You know, so
yeah.
We have one caller here. I don't know if she'd rather listen or he'd rather listen. It's from Lansing, Michigan. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, you're so funny, David. This is Kelly, and I'm not from Lansing,
hey.
But thank you for thinking that.
Okay.
Yes, Kelly,
how are you?
Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what do you think
about
what's happening?
The craziness, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
It is all crazy. Dan, and I'm so happy that the Democrats have won redistricting in Alabama and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that we can at least turn those states a bluish purple.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. A blue is purple. Absolutely.
Yeah.
More
yeah,
blue than
purple. But
more blue than
I also listened to you. I got to tell you guys this, that I listened to Smirkanish on his show, and POTUS is on XM Radio. It's from 9 to noon during the week. And he always has, he stays in the middle, and he listens to both sides, which we already know. I already know he goes left when he votes. But some of the Republicans were on his show today that want to censor the eight. They want to get with the Democrats and get rid of those eight in the House. And
that would be wonderful.
I want them to do it. Who knows if they actually have the guts to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know who all listens to Smirkanish. Let's get that done, though. Let's get it done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're on a time limit as well. You know, they only have 30-some days, you know, to get their act together in the House and to get a new speaker. And from what I understand, the Orange State is going to Capitol Hill next week because, you know, he's been asked by so many people to become the Speaker of the House. But, you know, he is so busy with his campaign, and, you know, his popularity is huge. And, you know, his polling is so high that he really doesn't have a lot of time. But he would maybe bless their steps by going there next week and maybe being an interim for a little while. Oh, can you imagine that?
Well, I think they did the right thing. They should let him do it. Why? More Americans can see how ridiculous he is, but not smart enough to run a country.
Yeah.
But, like I said to him, I go, okay, so why is the MAGA group, even though he's in and out of court, they keep donating money? He has just running to stay out of jail.
Of course
he's such an autocrat that he just doesn't, I'm sorry, but almost all of the, not all of the Republicans, but a good majority of them, they don't care for others. They have no compassion for others. They just want to do chaos and drama on tax dollars.
Yes.
People can't wake the heck up on this. I am so angry with a lot of them. At my job, yes, David, I do work in Lansing. But where I work, it's gotten to a lot of them. Turn them a little bit. I went in there. I'm quiet, and I nicely say good things to them. I brought up the wildfires in Canada, and they go, oh boy, I hope it rains. I said, yeah, I said, the rain. That's a question because I just heard on the news this morning, it has a lot to do with global warming. Talk about call the fire department in. Golly, there's no such thing. Oh, no. If they would just clean up their brush, and I laugh.
Oh, my God.
Okay, guys, guess what? Where do you guys live? You guys live in a story apartment? And they just said, yes. And another one said, no, I still live with my parents. Okay, bless your 35-year-old heart, you loser. I mean, okay. if you live with your parents, and his mom is a doctor, okay? So I said, and I knew that, he's in operation. I said, oh. He goes, Kelly, there's no such thing. He said it. There's no such thing. I said, did your mom teach you that? He goes, no, my dad said something about it. Okay, now, if there's no such thing, just out of curiosity, and if it's brush that needs cleaned up, you guys grew up, maybe you live in these apartments now so you can work here because you're from other areas. It's like we all are. I'm from an hour south of Lansing. But tell me, where you're from, do you have a lot of property? You know, and or does your family, anybody, do you go and help them clean out all the brush? Just kind of curious. And they looked at me, and they had that look on their face like, oh, that's because where I live, lot of brush. Because there's a lot of farming. The farmers own a lot of land. They should be cleaning up all their brush. I'm so sick of the farmers not cleaning up their brush. That's what I said. Well, the farmers, and I go, yeah, I guess I'm confused then. I said, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just confused. So then I started bringing in, Lori, you're from Michigan. Have you heard of Hinkley Donut in Jackson?
No, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Okay, they have been around from 1917 to now, okay?
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Started bringing in those donuts. Now, that bakery is very, very blue. Those people in there in the city of Jackson where that city is all blue, okay? So,
Have you ever thought of running for political office?
No. I'm older, Dave, and I don't want to. My husband and I do toss it around. My husband is involved in the IDEW trade, which Biden loves. Okay. So there's plenty of those type of guys and family members. Well, I am part of that family that are striving that. And to move forward, that's another reason why our state is so blue. Okay?
IBEW is a strong union.
Yeah, very strong. For all people. And it is amazing to me. My tongue is blue, is bleeding sometimes because I've even changed at work. We have the IDW that comes in there and works on our building.
Mm-hmm.
They now have the union plumbers come in.
Awesome.
We purchased a bunch of banned books to put back into the Lansing School District and other school districts, or families to come get them. So there's a good movement happening throughout, and it's all because of our number one and two at our company that and agreed with it. And said, okay, doing it that way, stay. Don't just come out and say vote bombs. I'm not. I just want them to educate themselves. They knew it when they were younger. Why did they forget it when that orange clown took office?
You know, Kelly, that's a lot of the problem is that a lot of people do not educate themselves, like you said. They listen to sound bites or you know, they have friends and they listen to what their friends say, but they never bother to research it or spend 5 minutes and, you know, read it and then maybe get two sources and get two ideas and a different opinion. And then have your conclusion. So it's a good thing that you did that and that you have open communication and that you can even talk about those things because in a lot of workplaces, they will not allow it, you know. So that's a bonus for you.
And you got to do it in a peaceful way. You have to. And a lot of times you just don't say anything at all, but now none of that stuff is even talked about. It's not even, like, live golf. They don't watch that no more. They, it's an amazing, you know, because what we do is a lot for the country and or for the world, actually, and let's keep our heads down and help. But we do.
Yes, ma'am. We'll have three more callers on, but Kelly, can you stay with us? Because we want to have this conversation about, you know, what's happening in the Republican Party here. You know, the candidates that are running, the seven stooges, you know, can any of them beat Biden possibly? And will Donald Trump win the nomination? And can he win the presidency again? So we're going to put in Khalil calling from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Hello, Khalil. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are
good,
you,
Khalil? Good.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
can
ma'am.
We help you with this, what you got to say? What do you think
about what were we saying now?
What do you think about McCarthy being ousted?
It's good that he's not there anymore if he's doing stupid stuff. And basically, one of the things I noticed is like a lot of the people on the right, they don't have solutions to a lot of things. Like when you hear I don't know if you heard about this, but a lot of them talk about black-on-black crimes. And a lot of the right-wingers that do that, they don't want gun control, but they want to talk about black-on-black crime. Or a lot of them, they'll say, well, they'll talk about something, they'll be against, they're against the helping Ukraine, but then when it came to Afghanistan, they weren't against that. Really ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, ma'am.
And that's how I feel. It's like they pick and choose when something suits their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
They have selective memory because for 30-odd years they did nothing in curtailing the NRA. They took money from the NRA. They have blood money. You know, and people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, 14th District in Georgia, have the nerve before she ran for Congress saying that, Sandy Hook was a hoax and whatever, you know, and Jewish space lasers and all sorts of nonsense. How can people in 14th District of Georgia elect such a clown Marjorie Taylor Greene, for as far as I'm concerned, is a loser. You know, she's a QAnon person. You know, and you should not have a grasp of the English language. The Peachtree dishes. Or what's she saying?
About babies being made.
Yeah, about babies being made in Peachtree dishes. I mean, good God. You know, I mean, these people, these Republicans, they're Christian. Nothing wrong with being a Christian or alleged being Christian, because what they do is not Christian-like. You get what I'm saying? How can you be pro-life when you're pro-death penalty and you're pro-gun? You know, how can you, you know, say that you're Christian, but yet still people who come from different countries wanting to be legal immigrants, you know, try to put a pathway for citizenship for these people. I mean, the list goes on and on. You want to put a border wall against Texas and Mexico and putting barbed wires in there. Just last week or week before, a three-year-old kid drowned there, and you should see the mutilated body of that poor three-year-old. You know, so these Republicans talk a good game, and when they do get elected, they can't govern. You know, so, I mean, it's so sick and demented, these people. You know, I hope good sense prevail in 2024. Illinois, calling. Welcome, Illinois. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, hi. I was just catching a little bit of your show there.
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol.
I knew that this was a civil war some time ago, and I said it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're in a cold civil war. And by that, I mean, we don't have the guns blazing. We don't have people going from door to door, guerrilla, hand-to-hand combat. But we have, we're on that path, and we're just one level below that. Because what they're doing, this extremist group, they are working by intimidation, as Trump does, okay? They are on the airways with fake preachers 24/7, not just Sunday, 24/7, calling him God's anointed, God's chosen, this, that, and the other. None of it's in the Bible. They basically are holding political rallies. And what they've done, by declaring yourself a church, you can use a nonprofit and you escape the regulations for campaign donations. You escape that because you're a nonprofit and you're a church. So they say they're Christian, but in fact it's just a device to hold political rallies. And there's quite a number of them that are online trying to build. They're connected to prosperity gospel. They're also connected to Dominionism, Seven Mountains Mandate, NAR, New Apostle Reformation, some other groups. But they're basically all wanting a theocracy. So their first step to achieve that is to destroy our democracy. And they say it's for Christ. They say they're bringing back Christianity. But in fact, on the ones that I've been battling with, and trust me, I do battle them. Okay, I battle them. I debate their ideas online. The reason I do this is because 90% of their content is political. It is not Bible. It's not just what Donald Trump says. It's abortion rights. It's contraception rights. It's this, that, and the other. Suddenly God is a Republican and a very prejudiced Republican on top
of it.
Wait a
minute.
Right, exactly. So they have people comparing Trump to Jesus. They have people comparing Trump to Moses. All of this is non-biblical. They spend, if you watch a Sunday worship service, it's very militant. There are drums beating. I know certain pastors have taught their people to stomp on the enemy, grind the enemy under your feet, strike the enemy. They actually practice striking people in the church.
Carol and everybody. I don't mean
this
to call
you.
Remember
you
what your point is. But the thing is, Carol
is,
and everybody. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, my point is,
the thing is,
this is how you got the cult.
Ahead.
This is how you got a cult.
Mm-hmm.
They are mind controlled. And until the Democrats want to stay with the political scene, they don't want to get into the weeds with the religious violations of the Johnson Act and stuff, but we have to, because these people are basically uttering Russian talking points, Q conspiracies, mind control techniques, and they're operating as on a political propaganda, but they just label it a church. And you, until you shut them down, completely shut them down, make them pay their taxes, take away their religious passports, so on and so forth, they are going to do nothing but cause trouble. Some of them even go overseas and sabotage the current administration, which is a violation of the Logan Act. You know, a private individual cannot go over and negotiate a treaty or represent a diplomatic stance from the United States, because you're just a private individual. You weren't elected or appointed. But they do. But they do. And so we will have to address the Johnson Act violations and get these people held accountable. Because when they tell people the Democrats are demons, they're drinking blood, they're worshiping Moloch, we should take them down, we should take them out, we should purge them. What is that but inciting violence? It's inciting violence. And then somebody in the crowd's going to get the gun and do it. And then the minister, who's raking in billions, by the way, is going to say, well, I didn't tell him to do it. No, you told him everything but the last step. You told him everything but the last step. And that is causing me a lot of anxiety, because I see them building towards a civil war. And some of them are buying up a lot of land. I think that it's for encampments. The FBI already busted about 10 fake churches that were really militias, okay? But I think that's what they're trying to do, is militarize their followers so that they will do domestic terrorism and harass and dox, all the things that we know is on the upswing.
Yeah.
So that's my point.
And it is a good point. I know that, when a lot of – when people decide to go to a Christian church that they've never been to before, and I've experienced this. I've seen in a Christian church, because I was very curious. I was raised Catholic. I've talked about this before. And I decided to go check out a Catholic church. I checked out a Lutheran church. It's just all of them. I noticed that in the Christian church, when they did their preaching, so to speak, they are really good at tuning in to certain people. A lot of the people, I noticed that a lot of the people that are there are, and by that I mean is maybe they had, maybe a drug problem or a gambling problem or family problems, or they were raped. I mean, a lot of them are just lost, and they're just looking for something, something to hold on to make them feel good. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but when you're in that state of mind and you're looking for something to make you feel better and to become a part of, if you get into one of those churches that are militant, the way you talked about, and I know they're around, then you will.
There's a lot of them.
And you will, pay attention. And you may grasp on to that. And that's the scary part about it. That's the scary part. Because when you are in your weak moments, that is when those things kind of can happen to you. Because you're trying to find solutions, love, whatever it is that you need. Friendships, et cetera. And sometimes these preachers can deliver just that. If that sermon that day hits home with you, you'll go back. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm not disparaging anybody. I'm just saying that there are certain people that when they get hooked, they're hooked, because they think that they have found their answers to their problems.
Well, that's very astute of you to observe that. what I observe also is it's a fear-based thing. It's a fear-based mm-hmm. thing. A lot of them are terribly frightened, and
yes.
and I can understand it, by change. They're frightened and confused mm-hmm. by the yeah. LGBTQ community coming out of the closet. Okay, I know it myself. I'm a different generation. It is hard to understand why there's so many trans people and bisexuals and whatever, men dressing as women. It's very difficult to understand. And a lot of them can't make that change. They can't adapt. And they're mm-hmm. fearful. And these people play to those fears.
Yes.
Rather than understanding that human sexuality might be a little more complex than we realize, because I have a mm-hmm. nursing background. I took care of a man who was both a man and a woman. Now, this is before they had hormone blockers, and people mm-hmm. had to live their whole life with
yeah.
genitals
mm-hmm.
from both sexes, and it was a
yes.
horrible
mm-hmm.
thing for them. They had to hide that. They could never relax and use a normal bathroom without being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
The other men would
mm-hmm.
see that they, you know, they weren't quite normal, and these people often lived a life of misery and shame and guilt. And
mm-hmm.
in fear because
mm-hmm.
of the, and they were vulnerable to rape and bullying. So, you know, I've seen it. So I know that we do have people that are intersex. We have people who may be hormonally a woman and
mm-hmm.
exterior a male. So I'm a little
yeah.
bit more mellow with it now, but I
mm-hmm.
think these people, a lot of people cannot deal with it. They're frightened by it. And so that fear
mm-hmm.
factor is what they play to.
Mm-hmm.
And they play up the migrant situation. It's a genuine situation. We're being swamped.
Mm-hmm.
And according to climate change, we're going to get more swamped because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of people who can't grow crops in South America, and they're going to head north where the water is.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's going to get worse, not better. But it isn't just Biden's
mm-hmm.
problem. It's been a problem for the last 40 years.
I want to ask. Yeah, I want to ask Kelly and Lauren, everybody on this panel. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan announced yesterday that he's running and he may be the front runner for the House Speaker job. Do you think
mm-hmm.
he'll get it? Because what's plaguing Jim Jordan is that when he was assistant coach at OSU, he hid the fact that the team doctor molested the young wrestlers that were in the college
mm-hmm.
and everything. And Steve Scalise from Louisiana, the congressman, he's now majority leader. He has thrown his hat into the ring. And one more person, the name slipped me now, but he has also thrown in. He is more moderate, the third person, which his name has eluded me just now. But do you think between Scalise and Jim Jordan, you know, who is the lesser of the two evil or the equally bad? Do you think anything will be done on a new leadership, a speakership, starting with Lori and then Kelly?
Just talk about Jim Jordan for a minute, because when you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I think that more people need to understand,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe they don't even know. You know, he was a coach. I believe he was an assistant coach in Ohio. At, I believe it was Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Ohio State right now. But
mm-hmm.
it was Ohio State. And back when he was the coach, there
mm-hmm.
is a man. His name is I'm trying to find his name.
Yeah, the team doctor.
He was one of the wrestlers. His name is
mm-hmm.
Tito Vanquez, and he says that he still remembers 3 decades ago, as a wrestler at Ohio State University, the doctor he had gone to see about a bloody nose, insisting on examining his genitals. He also recalls one of his coaches dismissed his immediate complaint. He went on to say that coach was Jim Jordan. Now an Ohio congressman, an influential voice in the Republican politics, perhaps best known for his defense of President Donald Trump during the recent impeachment proceedings. So, and this Vanquez is one of the six former OSU wrestlers who told CNN in recent interviews that they were present when Jordan heard or responded to the sexual misconduct complaints about the team doctor. His name is Richard Strauss, who I think committed suicide. Eight others say that Strauss's inappropriate behavior was an open secret in the athletic department and that Jordan, among others, must have known about it. What Jordan and the other coaches knew and when they knew it is under scrutiny since 2018 when OSU announced an investigation into the allegations against Strauss. An independent report commissioned by the university concluded last year that Strauss sexually abused at least 177 male student patients between 1979 and 1998. And that doctor did die of suicide by suicide in 2005. Now, if he if Jordan was an assistant coach, and if he was there every day, you know, for years, he was there for years. I could look up where how many years he was there. Don't tell me that he that you know these students that came to him, these wrestlers that were you know under him, did not. And they complained to him or tried to tell him, don't tell me that he doesn't remember that. He doesn't know about that. He did nothing. So that tells you right there that he's a liar, number one. And number two, he doesn't give a crap about people. He doesn't.
Yeah.
That's what it tells me.
Because the captain for the wrestling team, his name is Adam DeSabato. And he told that the Ohio House Civil Justice Committee that Jim Jordan begged him to deny claims that school officials knew of and ignored allegations that Richard Strauss sexually abused Buckeyes wrestlers. So Jim Jordan called this guy, the captain for the wrestling team, crying, groveling, begging not to, you know, go against the doctor who was accused of, you know, raping these young men. You know, it went on for a half an hour of conversation. And, you know, Jim Jordan tried to cover it up, you know, and Jordan, it happened in July 2018. This was by a news report by Savannah Berman from USA Today. And Jordan was assistant coach of the Ohio State from 1987 to 1995 and everything. So, you know, many wrestlers even told referees what was going on. You know, about the abuse and the rape and, you know, they didn't speak out. So, you know, Perkins Cole, he's LLP that found Strauss sexually abused at least 177 students during his time between 1978 to 1998. So he said that investigators concluded that university personnel at the time had knowledge of complaints and concerns about Strauss's conduct as early as 1979, but failed to investigate and act meaningfully. You know, so Strauss is gone now. He committed suicide like a coward that he is. Jim Jordan should have to answer for what he did in covering up for, you know, for this nasty man, you know, because lives have been ruined, and this clown of a man from Ohio wants to be Speaker of the House, you know, which is like two heartbeats away from the presidency. Can you imagine if something happened to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and this loser become president pro tempore? You know, I mean, it gives me chills down the spine and everything. So, you know, what do you think about it, Kelly, and then Carol and Kalel? Do you think Jim Jordan has what it takes to speak of a house or Scalise or any of them? Kelly?
Well, first of all, they need 218 votes. So, I think that we should play bingo. How many times did it take, after what I had heard in this whole week of people calling in this Mercado show that were Republicans, like a majority of those in there, because they were voted in states and areas that was Biden's win. So they have learned play on both sides. Not play, but care for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
They are tired of people like Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene. They're not, I'm sorry, but Scooty, I'm sorry you were shot playing softball, but your mouth, people are paying attention. People are paying attention. Is he scared to speak out? Probably. Okay, but it doesn't matter. He says he's a white nationalist. It doesn't matter. They're not going to vote for them. They're not going to get to 218 votes. Because there isn't one Democrat that's going to go for those type of people.
Carol,
it's 15 votes to get McCarthy. How many is it going to take for the next clown to get in? For sure.
Right. Carol, what's your take on it?
Well, I think the word from Jim Jordan personally is enabler. He enabled the man to molest a lot of people because he didn't. He was complicit with his crimes. He was part of the crime by enabling him. But personally, his personality is highly offensive. He talks over people. He shouts down people. He tries rapid speech so you can't understand him. So he's a very aggressive, loudmouth man. So he's it's natural that MAGA would want him. MAGA would want him because their whole point is to run the country for Donald Trump by getting their extremists into Congress in key positions. That is exactly their plan. But in reality, I don't think the majority of the Republicans and Democrats will allow that to happen because they need so many votes, and I don't think it's going to happen. But they're going to try. They're going to try. They're driving out the more normal Republicans. You know, Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and, you know, all the ones that are halfway normal. But that's the whole thing. They're trying to drive them out, and they're trying to de facto take over this country without an election. And they're going to make a lot of noise. Like I said, fear is driving them. A lot of people are afraid of immigrants. They're afraid of minorities gaining parity. And I always tell people, I saw this coming 20 years ago when this Tea Party started saying diversity was a bad thing and let's take America back. You know why you heard that? You heard that when the first women, the first blacks, the first Jews got elected to Congress. That's when you heard that. Because I lived through the era where it was 96% white Christian male. And when we started to see minority and women representation, that's when they started saying, take Congress back. It's very closely tied to fear of women and hatred for minorities. That's what it's tied to.
Yes.
And somehow especially, we have to get past that.
Especially the LGBTQ community, which, you know, has grown since the Stonewall incident in the 1970s, the late 70s, where they fought for the freedom and the rights to have what they have now. And so the Republican Party, you know, since in the 1960s, when Barry Goldwater was their standing barrier, he said, you know, he was condoning Christians coming in before Ike demitted office. He did say that, you know, the Christians would ruin the Republican Party. You know, and
yeah,
so
he did
said
say
so
that
done.
Eventually. He got disillusioned with them.
Right,
he got
and the military industrial complex and what have you. Yeah, you know, so, you know, I mean, if Reagan tried to run, you know, if he were alive and tried to run in an office, they'd probably laugh him out of the building because, you know, compare Reagan to now the so-called conservatives of today. They are fascistic and right-wing and pathologically mandated, like I say, you know, and it's scary.
Well, a lot of them, I hate to characterize all MAGAs as evil people, because I know a lot of my relatives are Republicans, and they're MAGA, they're going along with it. And they don't seem to know about these extremist groups that are within the party. And I know them because I track them. online. I follow mm-hmm. them. I listen to what they say word for word. I review mm-hmm. it. So I know what's going mm-hmm. on. But most of the average Republican said, oh, those are fringe, you know. We don't really believe he's mm-hmm. Christ and all that. You may not believe it, but mm-hmm. that's what's being taught to thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And in, mm-hmm. and it only takes a few with guns or bombs mm-hmm. or whatever to do mm-hmm. isolated domestic terrorism to cause a lot of harm mm-hmm. to our economy and our country. And that's what they're trying mm-hmm. to do. And you can mm-hmm. bet in 45 days that what they're trying to do mm-hmm. is set it up so that in 45 days they can collapse the economy. And they want to do that mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Biden, his economy is doing strong, and when he goes for re-election, that's going to work in his favor. So if they can mm-hmm. ruin mm-hmm. it for him, they think that mm-hmm. they can win.
Well,
but as far
right.
as as Speaker of the House, I don't know the other two Scalise that well. I know Jim Jordan would mm-hmm. be my least favorite one because he is too mm-hmm. radical. He doesn't know how to negotiate. He's just mm-hmm. and he doesn't have the moral character.
I don't like
him.
Well,
just last Kelly in Lansing. I wanted to ask Kelly another question.
Kelly. She had to leave.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly, for calling.
So, Khalil, you know, we heard from Kelly, we heard from Carol. What's your take on this race for Speaker of the House? Scalise or Jim Jordan? What's your take?
Probably the one that didn't do the covering up. I forgot what the name it was. Scalise? The one that covered up for the people that were molesting the kids. The one that was
right.
covering up, I don't think they're going to win. I really don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't think people like that win when they do stuff like that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
He's tried his mm-hmm. best to cover it up. He really has.
Mm-hmm.
But every,
yep.
you know, and people forget because it's been a few years
mm-hmm.
now. But. You know, we have to be the constant reminder because that is definitely
mm-hmm.
a flaw. In, I mean, you know, what else
mm-hmm.
would he cover up?
Right.
The insurrection?
Right.
That's true. That's
you know
true.
What I'm
remember the insurrection when they asked him about his lying? They caught him in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And he
of
said
course.
He couldn't remember.
Exactly.
He couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. He had
how can we have Jim Jordan as Speaker of the House when Democrats were in power and subpoenaed him and his colleagues to come testify in front of Congress? They ignored it completely.
Okay.
So who is he to run for any big leadership office and leadership role in the Congress? You know, it's absurd.
It.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that was more.
mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's very distasteful what he's doing. So 515-605-9802 is the number to call. We're talking about the GOP's uncivil war. The speakership is up for grabs. Scalise and Jim Jordan both
mm-hmm.
announced that they're running for the speakership job. Kevin McCarthy was ousted a couple days back, and it's an important role as the Congress need. As Speaker of the House, conduct business and be the leader. But as Speaker of the House, you can be in any committee you so wish. And, you know, imagine Jim Jordan on International Relations Committee or, you know, Ways and Means Committee, big committees, you know, that, you know, carry a lot of clout. You know, I mean, you know, he hasn't have any common sense, but, you know, we've spoken enough about Jim Jordan and how incompetent he is. Let's focus on Scalise. He is embroiled in a scandal after it was reported that he spoke at a white supremacist gathering. And
mm-hmm.
He's not the current majority whip, like was said. And he's a Republican representing a congressional district in Louisiana. So what do you think about this man, Laurie? He spoke in front of a white nationalist group and everything. I think that should disqualify mm-hmm. him from the get-go. That's scary right
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah. He addressed an anti-Semitic, white supremacist group back in 2002, and it was run by mm-hmm. David Duke, who's a, mm-hmm. you know, we all know, former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, and mm-hmm. he's well in, you know, Scalise's home state of Louisiana because mm-hmm. of the several statewide campaigns for governor and senator. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I would say, because I don't care if it was 2002 or if it was 1995. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Just mm-hmm. the idea that he would do something like that tells you a lot about him as well. And see, they all try mm-hmm. to bury their past, you know, and become better people. But, you know, something like this, what's changed about him? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He went and addressed an anti-Semitic white supremacist group. I'm sorry. What made mm-hmm. him do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are his political now?
Yeah, you know, the name of this group was European American Unity Rights Organization, or EURO for short. And mm-hmm. the group is bad news for Scalia because it's been labeled as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And they have strong racist views. And it was a local blogger who broke the story. And, you know, it was likely that congressman supported the group. Scalise broke his silence in an interview with a local newspaper, The Times of New Orleans. And, you know, he said he don't specifically remember addressing EURO, but said that at the time he went to speak to any group that called in 2002. So he was trying to draw support for a state tax plan. And, yeah, he's mm-hmm. using the little, you know, crap excuse, but you know mm-hmm. that these people are a little bit racist. Why in God's name would you talk to a group like that? It's just like the senator from Alabama who blocking all these positions in the military,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Tomerville. You know, he never served in the military before, and because mm-hmm. of the directions of Donald Trump, he's blocking all these nominations from going through. It puts us at great risk. You get what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? You know?
Of course.
And Tommy Tomerville, when he was on CNN, he was asked about the white nationalism in the military. Should those people be kicked out? And, mm-hmm. you know, he picked up for white nationalism. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the Republican Party has turned into. You know? And instead of governing and working with Democrats, put through laws that help the country move forward, you know, we'll get these all these political theater and distractions and what have you. And that's why people are fed up of this, you know, this broken system
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the parties can't work together. And it's not that Democrats not willing to work with Republicans and come to some middle ground, but Republicans are so extremist that regular people who, you know, would be interested in going into politics and making a contribution to their country, you know, and trying to, like, fight for America, for democracy, for freedom, for everything we stand for, it gets so
mm-hmm.
toxic because of the Republican Party for what it stands for, and people like Scalise going to these, you know, different groups speaking when it's a non-nationalist, white nationalist, racist group. You know, people will say, oh, no, I'm not getting into politics because it's too toxic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we'll have people in there for years. You
mm-hmm.
know, rest in peace, Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, your time came, and she should have been long gone because, you know, I don't know if it was dementia setting in, you know. And the same thing could be
mm-hmm.
said about the senator from Iowa, you know, Chuck Grassley.
Mm-hmm.
He's up there near 90 mm-hmm. years old now. You know, when
time
mm-hmm. is time, we'll have a thing where if you're 35 years or older, you could run for president. Why is that near mm-hmm. a time limit, you know, for when you're a U.S. senator or a congressperson? You know,
mm-hmm.
that seat is not for life. It's the people's house, you know? And
yeah.
people stand there for years and years and years.
Mitch McConnell.
He's been in there since 1984.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and he frees up twice instead of the camels and everything. Come on, man. That's not right.
And then they talk about Biden's age, but he's only 3 years older
mm-hmm.
than Trump. And Biden,
mm-hmm.
I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying Biden's perfect, but I will say Biden's
mm-hmm.
sane. And I cannot say
mm-hmm.
that about Mr. Trump. He has a verifiable mental disorder. I've worked with them. When I took care of mental patients, I can tell you I've worked with a couple that were like that. And it's not that uncommon. I mean, if you know anything about mental health, you know that he's completely out of touch with reality, he has grandiose thinking, and he's a compulsive liar. And a lot of that has to do with, I don't think he reads well. I think he has attention deficit somewhat. They had to bribe somebody to get him into Wharton School. They had to give him a big donation and pull some strings. And once he got in there, he sued him now not to ever tell his grades. And I'm not sure he even graduated. He says he graduated, but people who helped him get in later publicly said he would, you know, they regretted it. They regretted him getting into that school. And he bragged on never reading a book. And you can tell from the way he discusses things, he's not that bright. So, I mean, he easily could have hired a guy who wrote his tests for him. I bet anything he did that because he doesn't understand basic principles of business.
No. And, you know, with 91 indictments, he's got, what, 4 trials coming up. I think the one that has really bothered him the most and made him more insane than he is the one going on right now in New York.
Yeah, where they're exposing.
Because
they're
that,
exposing his lack of money.
It not only that, it doesn't expose his lack of money. It exposes him as a person. It just because he's always talked about what a great businessman he was, and he made the best deals, and you know he had the best of everything, and now he's being exposed because everything that he had, he didn't just increase it 20-30%, he increased it 500%, you know. I mean, come on. Do I think that he was ever a billionaire? And no. And we've talked about this before. I do not. I think he was a billionaire in his brain, but I don't think he was a billionaire on paper. So,
I think
about this trial. I mean, that's why he lost his cool 3 days in a row. 3 days in a row.
Because his self-esteem is tied up with bragging on how much money he has. That's the only way he feels that he is valuable to society. And in fact, the next step will be to expose where is he getting his money. If he doesn't have that money that he says, where is he getting the money to continue on? And we already know his family has said China and his family has said Russia. And that's why I can't understand why these MAGAs accuse Joe Biden of profiting off the presidency, which there's no evidence for, but they don't raise a single question about Russia and China, the fact that Trump has all his money in a Chinese account and paid taxes to China, but not to the U.S. Is he going to be loyal to China or is he going to be loyal to the U.S.? I'd like to know.
Absolutely. That's exactly who he'll be loyal to, not to the United States. That's for sure. You know,
that's right. That's where his money is. It's offshore.
Yeah, he's going to go where he can get the biggest bang for his buck. Absolutely. You know,
and what did they get for a return?
You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. His self-esteem and his image has always been to present himself as a businessman and a wealthy businessman, the top dog. And this trial is really bothering him because the finances are coming out and he's not top dog. Forbes just dropped him off the list of the wealthiest individuals. And the fact that he mismanaged the $400 million he was born with, you know, is now becoming noticeable. And I think
he's being exposed.
It's being exposed. And another thing, too, is, yes, there are dirty businessmen that don't pay their employees and cheat on their taxes and blah, blah, blah. But not all businessmen do that. That's a fraction. And not only that, if I go out and hire you and work you to death and don't pay you, and I don't pay taxes, on paper I've got a gross income that's going to be very high because I didn't take out my labor costs. I didn't take out my taxes.
Nope.
So, you know, he's been sued so darn many times from Sunday by electricians, plumbers, by even waits, and his chauffeur of over 30 years had to sue him to get his wages. So that, what does that tell you? Who does that? You know, if he's bragging about his money, why couldn't he pay any of these people? You know, a real business has assets and liabilities. And you do have labor costs. It's part of your spreadsheet. So, you know, he's just inflating things on paper. What he really owns is probably very little. And he's probably in debt up to his ears. So that's why he's going nuts.
He sure is.
Right. And, you know, the red flags should have been flying high, Carol and Khalil and everybody listening. He's been bankrupt 6 times. Everything he touches turns to basically shit, you know? How can he bankrupt a casino? You have Trump Ice. You have Trump Steaks. You have Trump Airlines. Everything he touches turns to garbage. And people say, oh, yes, you know, when you run against Hillary, oh, he's a businessman and he knows what he's doing and he's outside box and he thinks so. No, he doesn't. He's stupid. You know, he inherited $400 million. How can he go broke with $400 million? Tell me.
How do you bank up a casino when it's rigged to favor the house? They're all rigged to They let you win so many times, but the house always wins. Here's how he bankrupted his casinos. He built too many casinos too close together. He basically took the pie, the casino pie, and divided it too many times. He competed with himself. And that's why several of them failed. And that Taj Mahal, it cost him $150 million to build it. He sold it to a native tribe for $50 million. Not because he likes them, because it was aging and it needed repairs and whatever. He basically dumped it, and he lost money on it because it was too close to other casinos. You know, you have to have a little common sense. You know, you don't build 10 casinos in the same block, you know. It doesn't work. So that's part of the reason he failed. And he's highly impulsive, but the thing that really bothers me the most is the hate speech. He's got unfettered hate speech now. And all of these people are receiving extra security because of it. They're being doxxed. They're getting threats. Poor little Cassidy Hussity, or whatever her name was, she told on him. And and the Rudy tried to feel her up. And she was told to get out of Washington. And she's just a kid. My God, they came after her. So this is what I'm saying about him. You know, he didn't understand normal boundaries. So he needs some. The judge needs to take pity on him and give him some normal boundaries. And that's not a gagging him. That is, go ahead, and every time he threatens someone and they have to have tons of extra security, why should us taxpayers pay for it? Fine him a million for every person that has to have round-the-clock security from his remarks. Trust me.
Well, look at
he's going to get that. Yeah, that's the only thing he's going to understand is losing money.
That's what I'm saying. He is. That's why he is so upset about that New York case, more than he is about, you know, the documents, you know, the January 6th, Georgia. You know, he is upset about the money. That's what he's upset about, being exposed as to who he really is.
Although, don't you think, in the long run, leading the insurrection and stealing the documents and very likely selling them to Russia and Saudi Arabia, especially Saudi Arabia, Saudi has been dumping money on him, you know, dumping money on him through his hotels, through Trump Towers, through the golf thing. And Jared walked out with, what, $1 billion job managing the Saudis' money, even though he's a failure himself, and the Saudis all said, don't do it. The prince gave him a cushy job. He gave him a big loan. And what did he get in exchange? Well, we kind of know what he got in exchange. Khosheti, the journalist, was writing a book exposing secret deals that Jared Kushner and the Saudi prince were making with classified information. And that's why the Saudi prince chopped him up.
Yep.
And that's why Trump refused to do anything about it. So when that all, when the dust settles and they look into the Saudi Arabia stealing of our, killing assets off in Saudi Arabia that privately were telling us what the prince was up to, that list, this is no coincidence, okay? Trump and Jared specifically asked for the list of assets, quote-unquote, spies in Saudi Arabia. And very shortly after they got that list, Jared went there, and all of a sudden, the prince is cleaning house. He's arresting everybody that helped us, and he's putting a lot of them in debt to death. So there's a very strong link-up, plus the book that Khashoggi was writing, that indicates Trump was actually selling our allies and spies out to our enemies. And that is treason. So if he wants to talk about executing treasonous people, we should start with him.
Exactly.
Because that's treason.
I just want to interrupt for 1 second. There is some breaking news on MSNBC. New York Times just reported that Trump allegedly revealed nuclear submarine secrets to an Australian businessman.
Oh, my God. You see this? And they want to put him back in the White House. How could you put a man back? You know, all these ministers, Mr. Kuhneman, I'm going to address him by name. Mr. Kuhneman believes that he's sent by God, blah, blah, blah. And, Mr. Kuhneman is a basically a Christian nationalist, which is the same as a white nationalist. And he brags upon loving the soldiers. How can you do that? How can you love our soldiers and support a man who would expose our entire nation's secrets, jeopardize our security, making it easy for someone to bomb us and sabotage us and kill us? How could you put him in the presidency twice?
Because
the first time you might not
know,
but you know now.
If it were anybody else, there'd be in prison awaiting trial. What Donald Trump has done since assuming the presidency is so nauseating and repulsive that if a regular person, Joe Blow or Mary Jane America, did what he did or half of what he did, look at our reality winner who worked at the Pentagon and she also worked in the Department of State. One single document to give to what's his name? Oh, Lord, for brain fried tonight. He works hard at work. You know, Julian Assange. One document, she got 7 years for. So imagine the boxes and boxes and boxes of documents Trump had in that bathroom. He should get at least 700 years or more because this son of a bitch, this lunatic who had no business being president, that Russia helped get into the White House over the most qualified person ever to run for president, Hillary Clinton.
I'm not putting my grandsons in the army or any military service to die because we have a president that doesn't care about them, doesn't respect them, and worse yet, sells our secrets to our enemies.
Yeah,
that is unbelievable. Any other country, they would have arrested him and shot him already.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be going through this.
And this thing about Hunter Biden's computer, this Hunter Biden laptop, research and investigate Jared Kushner's laptop, what he was done with Saudi Arabia, what deals he made to get $2 billion. You know, the amount of money he and Ivanka made while serving in the White House without proper clearance from the Secret Service and Department of Defense. You know, this nepotism that happened. It's so disgusting. Mm-hmm. That's why America is this, you know, sick of politics. with a Democrat Republican. Well, we need the better. America deserves better.
Yeah, we do. And in fact, we deserve better than a Congress that's locked up in bitter, petty fights instead of doing something legitimate. I mean, it's legitimate that the southern border is being swamped. It's legitimate we might have to rethink our immigration policies. That's legitimate. But what they're doing is nothing. They're doing nothing. And they're letting these MAGA extremists, they're telling he's God's choice. How can it be God's choice for our nuclear secret to be exposed to our enemy? I don't understand that. You know, I just don't. And he's just lucky it was America. Any other country would have arrested him right after January 6th.
Oh.
And he'd be sitting in a jail all this time.
Yeah, probably shoot him. But I have the CBS report. This is the last couple we play for the night and everything. It's about Biden and President Biden to deliver a major speech on Ukraine funding. It's 3 minutes, 30 seconds long. And I don't know when that speech is, but he's going to give that speech because, as you know, Republicans don't want to fund Ukraine because they're beholden to Russia. Maybe Russia have secrets for them. Maybe Trump have secrets for them. And after this, on the flip side, we're going to talk about, you know, what could be in that speech by Joe Biden and what do you think about the seven dwarves, the clowns running for the Republican nomination. Here it is.
Well, I'm going to have to go, but I will say this. Ukraine is a valid war for us to be involved in. It's valid for a lot of reasons, but one reason is that Russia did meddle in our country. It's still meddling in our country. We owe Russia no favors, and I believe Putin will fall by his own people. I believe if we arm Ukraine, the Russian people are going to get sick of us, and they're going to take it into their own hands, and he's going to be gone.
I hope. Indeed. I know if Russia overtakes Ukraine, thank you so much, Carl, for calling in, and thank you also, Kelly, in Ohio and Illinois, respectively. We're happy when, you know, you call in and, you know, make a contribution, so what's on your mind? Yes, man. So, you know, imagine if Ukraine is overtaken and bullied by Russia. Who next? Yeah. Georgia, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, you know, Poland, who? You know, it's like unchecked power. And what Vladimir Putin is trying to do is reestablish the Soviet Union and have another Cold War because he thinks that, you know, Russia deserves to be up there with the superpowers. And we're not going to allow it, you know. The Cold War died in 1989, December 1989. Perestroika and Glasnost, you know, Gorbachev, may God rest his soul, he tried to change the Soviet Union, but the change was too quick. And, you know, for whatever reason, everything just collapsed, you know. And, you know, we cannot have, you know, Putin doing this, what he's doing. You know, no, we're not going to allow it. So here is Joe Biden. He's supposed to deliver a major speech on Ukraine funding. CBS News had a report, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
I know it's going to take some time, but I remind everyone, we have a lot of work to do, and the American people expect us to get it done. The argument we reached was all about what comes next.
Welcome back to America Decides. That was, of course, President Biden addressing the vote to oust Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker. I want to go now to CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Nancy Cordes. Nancy, what the president was referring to is something we talked about in the segment just earlier. What's the future of Ukraine aid? And as I understand it, the president's going to have something to say about that in the not-too-distant future.
That's right, Major. He said today that he's going to have a major address that he'll be giving soon about Ukraine aid and how important it is, and filled with warnings about what it could mean for this country if the U.S. doesn't provide more Ukraine funding in the short term. Now, what's so striking about this is that just 24 hours ago, Major, the president told world leaders that he's very confident that Ukraine aid is going to get across the finish line on Capitol Hill. And all of us were scratching our heads and asking questions of White House officials. How can the president express confidence on the world stage at this particular moment? The House Speaker is hours away from being deposed. He has no idea who the next House Speaker will be. and whether that person will support more funding for Ukraine. And sure enough, it is now 24 hours later, and the president himself is apparently concerned enough that he feels the need to go out there and give a major speech at some point, they haven't told us when, to try to get Congress back on track on this issue.
As our conversations throughout the show have made abundantly clear, Nancy, there are so many unanswerable questions. One of them is, in this context of the future of Ukraine aid, might the White House find itself in a position at some point, a week or so from now, where it's urging Democrats to possibly be more cooperative in this House chaotic period of time to get a speaker and create alliances that for the sake of Ukraine aid might come together, if only temporarily?
You know, I think the Democrats would be very open to forming alliances, particularly if there was a speaker candidate who was willing to give them some assurances. They've expressed great openness to doing that. But the reality is that the Republicans who have stepped forward so far to say that they are interested in the speakership, they are not individuals who are going to be looking to form those kinds of alliances with Democrats, at least not yet. I mean, if we get 6 votes, 10 votes into this thing and there's still no speaker, then maybe they may need to form some kind of an alliance with Democrats. But at this point, when you've got individuals like Steve Scalise, like Jim Jordan, they're going to be looking to shore up flank. They're going to be looking to try to win this vote with Republican votes only before they turn to Democrats. And as you've been discussing, if anything, they've been saying that they want to kick Democrats out of their small offices in the Capitol, not form new alliances with them.
Hard to form alliances when eviction notices are being sent across the aisle in Capitol Hill. Nancy Cordes at the White House on the North Lawn. Thanks so very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that was CBS reporting, Garrett Major and Nancy Cordes. Nancy Cordes, the chief correspondent for the White House and everything. So do you think, you know, that whoever the new speaker is will work with Joe Biden to give funding for Ukraine, or is it the same old where, you know, they say no and try to block?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend. Well, if it is Scalise or Jordan, we know that that's not going to happen. You know, and like they said, if they could pressure, if they could get the Democrats, maybe the Democrats can have some leverage and say, I will support, you know, whomever they decide if you promise to give us $24 more billion for Ukraine. I mean, there's ways of doing things. Or the best thing that I could think of is to have Hakeem Jeffries as the speaker. That would
well,
be
it's not going to happen because Democrats, Democrats don't have the majority.
I'm in a cloud. I know that. But I am just saying, you know, that would be the frosting on the cake for us.
Yes.
And
there's rumblings. The rumblings on Capitol Hill that a lot of Republicans are sick and tired of Matt Gaetz, Raper Matt Florida, in Florida.
Yeah.
Because he put the whole thing in turmoil and, you know, the speakership is up for grabs and it's uncertain at this point who will be the next speaker. So the business of the country is not getting moving forward, you know? And Matt Gaetz, the aide for former Vice President Mike Pence said today, or was it yesterday, that, you know, Gaetz, all he's interested in is the interns and the pages on Capitol Hill and how much he can bet. And he was the one showing camera recordings on his phone to members of the Senate, members of the House, of which girl he had sex with. You know, most of these girls on the edge, they have the receipts and everything about, you know, sending PayPal to these women with different gifts, lavish gifts and everything, driving across state borders, allegedly, to have sex with these young girls. I mean, and the State Department, the Attorney General's Office, the Justice Department, didn't investigate or drop the case. Why a person of Matt Gaetz's stature or lack thereof, or integrity, should not be in Congress? He's having sex with underage girls, allegedly. You know, so, I mean, this is what the country has turned into because of scumbags like them. We can do better. Mm-hmm. I say it every show. America deserves better. People listening probably sick of me saying that. Why is Matt Gaetz in Congress? Why is Marjorie Taylor Greene? And the idiot from Colorado District 3, Boebert, you know, she threatened to quit the other day. Quit, Lauren Boebert. You're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Just quit. You know, the question that I have, and it's kind of mind-boggling to me, is that if these Republicans are interested in taking over in 2024, do they not realize that what they're doing right now is showing the country how unprofessional they are, how enabled they are, how they just are in a disarray, how they do not love democracy, because if they did want to continue our democracy, they would want to fund Ukraine and help to defeat Putin and get him out of that country. I mean, that's only that's logical to me. So it just tells me that there is an undercurrent of something else that's going on. Are they being blackmailed? Have they been given money? I mean, what is it? I mean, you can only take your power so far for so long. It just doesn't. It doesn't make sense to me.
Do you think if Congress will get the act together and approve this money that Biden wants, the $24 billion for Ukraine, can you use executive order and send that through to give aid to Ukraine? That's a great
question. That's a good
question.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have to research it. I'm not sure. But I think that would be... That would be nice if he could, but I think that if he could, I think he would do that. But I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. Hard to see. But he's worried about. He has put so much time and energy, you know, the G7, you know, he's just been back and forth. And Zelensky was here a few weeks ago, not once, but maybe twice or three times already. And Biden, you know, walked the streets of Ukraine with him just, a little while back. I mean, he has put his heart and soul into this. The president wants to help Ukraine because he wants to save the democracy in our world. You know, what's left of it in our country as well. So what's the problem here, Republicans? What's the problem? You don't have problems giving these billionaires tax cuts, and they haven't paid taxes since 2017, and we could have not had a deficit if they would have paid their fair share, but you don't have a problem with that. You don't have a problem with, you know, them going to Saudi Arabia and, you know, bringing home $2 billion, Jared Kushner. You don't have a problem with that. I mean, the tables are upside down. Everything is upside down and confused.
And you know, like when Trump was in there and everything, they gave him a blank check. You know, they call themselves, Matt Gaetz and company call themselves fiscal conservatives, but yet they will give a blank check to Donald Trump, and he raised the deficit to $7 trillion. Combine all presidents, that's the highest in the nation's history. And you want to call yourself fiscal conservatives. Yeah, that's a joke, you know. Ronald Reagan's probably laughing now, wherever he is, in the depths of hell. But, you know, I mean, the GOP, they don't stand for anything. And their base is so uneducated or undereducated. They want to get rid of public schools. They want to close the Department of Energy. You know, what else they want to do? A whole thing to, like, scale down big government. But what's this more big government? What's this more big government than getting inside a woman's womb and saying, oh, no, you can't have an abortion?
the latest thing from the right wing is that, oh, yes, if you have an abortion, no matter the reason, then you should get death penalty. Mm-hmm. I mean, how dare you try to go in front of a woman and tell her what to do? You know, come on, yeah. No, we have to fight back for Roe versus Wade, because this country is going into authoritarian direction, and the forefathers probably turning the graves now to what, you know, America's turned into. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, wasn't the problem. It was a symptom of the problem. It's been always there, you know, but Donald Trump brought out the worst in people, the fear-mongering, the spitefulness, the vindictiveness, and God forbid he gets a second term in 2024. You know, he go after his enemies. So that's Hitler-esque, you know. Mussolini did things like that. You know, Chairman Mao did things like that. Stalin, the worst of the worst. Hitler, you know. So America, you know, it's time to wake up. And I think people waking up, because independence, you know, independent voters leaning towards Democrats, according to polls and everything. But then again, you can't really trust polls, because remember in 2016, we saw Hillary Clinton winning by 10, 15 points. And because of Russian help, Trump, quote-unquote, won. He didn't win the popular votes. The last five or six presidential campaigns, you know, Democrats won the popular vote. There should be one man, one vote, because Electoral College has outlived its purpose and usefulness. Well, that's a different topic all by itself. You know, so what do you think, Khalil and then Lori, about the presidential candidates on the Republican side? Do you think any of them is worthy? Besides Trump, he's like 60 points ahead. Do you think any of them could go one-on-one against Joe Biden and possibly give him a run for his money? Or Joe Biden will run away with it in 2024? Khalil, what's your, you know, take on it? Okay. Yeah, Khalil, are you there? Hello, Khalil? Okay, I guess Khalil is on hold in everything. Yeah, so what's your take on the GOP candidates now? Who do you think is the strongest besides Trump to challenge the incumbent Joe Biden in 2024, and who can possibly beat him? What do you think?
If you're talking about the polls, if you're talking about polls and you think Trump on policy, if he were to go up against Biden, let's say in a debate, on policy, you know, Trump would not win that debate because he doesn't understand any of that, you know. So in that respect, I mean, why do you think he hasn't gone to the other two debates? Because he doesn't have any smart. He doesn't understand any policy. He doesn't care about policy. He only cares about the money he can make while he's president. That's it. So,
and the thing, a next possibility too is that if the former president Trump went to those debates, you know, it exposed how stupid it is and lack of intelligence and policy, and you know, it just exposed him as an idiot. Everybody knows he's an idiot already, but because his base, he speaks his base's language, then oh yeah, they like him. He was in Anaheim, California, probably four days ago, and he was, like, belittling people, you know, all kinds of people, and you should hear the crowd cheering for him. I mean, it's so disturbing. I'm like, what is happening here, man? You know? I mean,
they don't.
It worries me. It worries me.
Yeah, but I don't think, I don't think that any of them have what it takes to be a president. None of them. They don't, you know, they don't cherish our institutions. They don't care about democracy. You know, I mean, what did that Swami say when the UAW members went on strike? He said he'd fire them all. Really? Fire them all because they need a raise pay? Because they haven't had a raise in pay in 10 years and you would fire them? Really?
Yeah.
You know?
And also Tim and Scott said that too. He used the example of Ronald Reagan.
Tim Scott said the same thing. Yes, he did. So no, they are not for the American people. They don't care about the middle class, the working class, the people that keep this country going. They don't care about them. They're the ones that keep the wheels going. They're the ones that make these CEOs billions of dollars every year. And I just want to talk about one other thing. There is another strike that's going on. And, you know, I was just talking a little while ago. We were talking a little while ago about how the billionaires are making so much money. They don't have to pay all these taxes. And yet the workers are not getting a piece of the pie. You know, they're not getting their raises. Mm-hmm. They're not getting their pensions, you know, their health care that they deserve. They're not getting that because the CEOs and the stockholders and all the board members, you know, they're all making billions of dollars. So now we have another group of people that are on strike, and this is their third day. Now we have the UAW that I believe is on day 21. They are negotiating a little bit, but it's going to take time. Now we have healthcare workers who are picketing outside of U.S. hospitals in multiple states in the three-day strike. And this one is in Los Angeles. Tens of thousands of Kaiser permanent workers took to the picket lines in multiple states on Wednesday, launching a massive strike that the company warned could cause delays at its hospitals and clinics that serve nearly 13 million Americans. The coalition of Kaiser permanent unions, representing about 85,000 of the healthcare system's employees nationally, approved a strike for 3 days in California, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington. Some 75,000 people were expected to participate in the pickets. Now, if all these people are starting to, well, how do I put it? Not that they're starting to wake up, because I think that they probably have been complaining for a long time. And now they're at a boiling point. And they see that the UPS workers got a great deal. They did not go on strike, but they negotiated, and they got a great deal. They even got air conditioning in their truck, mind you. You know, and so now we have the UAW workers that are on strike all across the country. And, you know, now we have this. So it's just showing us, don't you think, David, that it's showing us that American workers are starting to understand that prices of things are going up. I don't think it's because of inflation, and I've talked about this before. I think it's because of greed. But they're not sharing.
Price gouging and greed. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not sharing.
And the corporations don't give a damn about the American people. We see it in Walmart, for example. You know, you're making billions of dollars, and, you know, each person, each Walton have a yacht. You know, I'm not saying, I'm not knocking people with yachts, but each family member have a yacht on different continents, you know, and yet still you're paying workers, you know, a little bit. And, you know, they're having food stamps, you know. How can you not give them, you're paying them slave wages. And in this economy, you know, $15, I mean, it's a start, don't get me wrong, because in Europe and Scandinavia, for example, $23 per hour for McDonald's worker, for example, in Scandinavia. And, you know, by slowly but sure, they get upgrade and pay and what have you. You know, the corporations bitching about $15 a month in this economy. I mean, they don't have a heart. They don't have no soul. What is wrong with these people? They don't pay any taxes.
I mean, you're right about that. They don't have a heart, compassion, soul, however you want to put it. But also, they're dumb. Because don't you think that if, you know, a company that you work for, if they took care of their employees, even if it's a small, medium, or large company, and they treated them respect with respect, and they, you know, paid them good wages, they took care of them with their health care, those employees would be loyal, and they would produce more. The American people are hardworking people, you know, and but they don't want to do that because they're too greedy. They're too greedy,
and what is corporations do?
Will be a deterrent to them. Pardon?
What these corporations do is outsource jobs and everything. And, you know, these jobs that are outsourced, the countries that they go to have no labor unions. They don't have a minimum wage.
you know, and the profits that they make, record profits, they don't pay taxes, they have offshore banking, they have dummy corporations, you know, and you know, there's outsource. And these corporations, when push comes to shove, give Republicans money for re-election. And, you know, Elaine speaks about it, you know, almost every time that she's on the show. I don't know how Elaine did the call tonight. I hope she's okay. You know, where there's this revolving door in Washington where you run for Congress or U.S. Senate, and when you retire or defeated at the polls, these same corporations, especially with Republicans, they give them a cushy special interest job. Mm-hmm. That door should be shut, closed, sealed, airtight, you know, because it's not in the interest of the people in America who voted for these people, whether Democrat or Republican, you know, to do that, you know, they should close that loophole where say, okay, if you're in Congress, whether as a congressperson or a U.S. senator, you know, once you retire or defeated at the polls, you can't have a special interest job. Because these special interests have so much money that, you know, they fund these campaigns at different levels, statewide and federally. And some of these corporations and special interests write laws that these Congress people and senators vote on. So I say, hey, vote for this bill, and I give you X amount of money. And with super PAC power now, you know, where is unlimited campaign funding, how is that in the best interest of the American people? You know, we have the Supreme Court to thank for that, and hopefully when Joe Biden gets a second term, we can expand the Supreme Court to 15 seats. But that's the only way that we can, you know, that's the only way. I don't see any other way, because these people in it now, especially the current students, will be in there until they die in office. You know, and I don't think the Supreme Court should have unlimited, you know, tenure. It should be term limited. You know, it's not in the best interest of Americans. It's just frightening, shocking direction we're going. We can do better than this. You know, so Elaine, if you're listening, hopefully you're okay and everything is okay. And Susie and Madeline, the regular callers, I guess, are taking a break tonight and everything. So we'll have 12 minutes left and everything. The topic tonight is Season 5, Episode 39, the GOP's Answer to the War. And who do you think will be the first one to drop out of the race? I think the North Dakota governor, Burgum, will drop out because he's polling at 1-2%, and the former Arkansas governor, Asa Hutchins, they're not doing too well, single digits. Even Tim Scott, the senator from South Carolina, they're not doing well. You know, Nikki Haley just like haven't driven in the polls, but maybe the Iowa caucus and New Hampshire primary make her, you know, go up in the polls. Who knows? Chris Christie, to me, is a logical choice for Republicans if they want to be taken seriously. Chris Christie, yeah, he's a conservative, but he's not a MAGA Republican crazy person.
No.
Everybody else is. And they're just auditioning for a part in a possible Trump administration part two, which is scary. You know? Oh, my Lord. Imagine if he wins.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know?
I would say Chris Christie is probably the only sane one in that whole group. That's my opinion. And that's not...
And another Republican... Exactly. Guy, he stuck as New Jersey governor. Another person I can look on is... Chris Sununu, he's the current governor of New Hampshire. You know, he's a conservative, a traditional establishment Republican. His father served as chief of staff for George H.W. Bush. His father, John Sununu, former host of Crossfire, was also governor of New Hampshire. So he's bona fide, you know, conservative establishment Republican, not crazy, you know, Republican that support Trump. You know, and Jeb Bush, I think the time for Bushes are done, you know, serving or running for president, because people sit at George W. Bush and his family. That's just fair. You know, I don't think anybody in the Republican Party now, as it stands, you know, are qualified for president. They may have the experience of a tenure in terms of political experience, but, you know, the way they're so beholden to the right wing, the far lunatic Trump wing of the party, who controls the party. It's just frightening.
you know.
It's real scary.
And if you don't, you know, cow down and bow to Trumpism, mm-hmm. then you will get far in that party, you know.
Yeah.
But I digress.
They will get nothing.
Hey, Khalil, thank you for calling. We're let you go and everything. Yes, ma'am. Khalil in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So we'll have mm-hmm. on the 9 minutes. Yeah, go ahead, Lori. You're saying something.
I just wanted to say that, you know, Rick Scott is on the prowl
mm-hmm.
again, speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already setting up, his, how do I put it? Just another war. So
mm-hmm.
today, Senator Rick Scott of Florida warned Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, a Democrat from
mm-hmm.
New York, letter signed by the GOP lawmakers that they will not support any non-appropriations bills on the Senate floor until the government is funded. Now, just 44
mm-hmm.
days, less than 44 days, remain funding until it expires on November 17th. So there is no more important work for the Senate during this time than debating, amending, and passing appropriation bills without resorting to a giant package dumped on the conference right before the December holiday, Scott wrote. Scott accused Schumer of adjourning the Senate so he can visit communist China and push America closer to another inflation bomb ominous bill. He posted that on X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, Rick Scott is another evil man, to say the least.
He's an evil piece of shit.
Yeah, he
mm-hmm.
is worse than evil. And
mm-hmm,
we know
mm-hmm.
that with the scandal in Florida that he got away with
mm-hmm,
millions
mm-hmm.
of scandals,
yeah.
scandals in Florida.
So,
and now he's nerve to threaten, you know, Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I know he, along with John Thune, John Barrasso, Joni Ernst from Iowa, Shelley Moore Caputo,
mm-hmm.
Mike Braun, Kate Britt, Ted Budd, Ted Cruz, et cetera, et cetera. Roger
mm-hmm.
Wicker from Wisconsin, I think he is from. The Senator,
mm-hmm.
To give time to work on spending bills that bring back fiscal sanity and accountability in Washington. So where were these
mm-hmm.
people when they give a free rein to Donald Trump? You know, I asked this earlier in the show.
That's exactly
the hypocrisy
right.
is disgusting.
I know. Where were they? They gave him a blank check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? But they did.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
They want, it really does. You know, the Republicans
mm-hmm.
make
mm-hmm.
them, and the grown-ups, which are the Democrats, clean
mm-hmm.
it up. This is
mm-hmm.
how, if you
yeah.
look in history and look at our, you know, and look back in history, you will see that. It's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pattern.
Yeah. Yes, it
Not
is.
Like
yes, it is.
It's a pattern.
It's yeah.
disgusting.
And the last word is, because I have to wrap up now and everything, is that Donald Trump can't be Speaker of the House because of his indictments. The only way Republicans can move forward is if they nominate, Scalise is running, Jim Jordan is running, and, you know, one of those two, or maybe a dark horse will come into the race and win as a compromise
mm-hmm.
candidate. But Donald Trump is disqualified because according to your own rules set by Republicans, if you're federally convicted, then you're not eligible to run for Speaker of the House. So, you know, that get back and everything. So Trump sucks out. And he did say in the past that he's not interested in Speaker of the House. You know, so that's a good thing. Thank goodness.
Well,
and
he is going
mm-hmm,
there next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see.
Yes. And let's just finish strongly by saying Congresswoman Stansberry, Melanie Stansberry, District 1,
mm-hmm.
Congressional District 1 in New Mexico, Albuquerque, said, quote, "My priority is to ensure every day that we are serving the people of New Mexico, not playing political games with people's lives and American democracy, as the GOP has
mm-hmm.
done for months," end quote. So that's Congresswoman Melanie Stansberry,
Democrat from the great state of New Mexico, where I am. She voted yes on a GOP motion to vacate the chair as Speaker of the House and everything. So thank you, Melanie Stansberry, and all the Democrats who voted this clown, this loser, McCarthy out. And as the Republicans, you know, scramble around and try to find a new speaker, may God help us, because these people cannot govern. They serve good game, talk a good game, not even a good game. The lie, the cheat, the steal, and the win elections through gerrymandering and cheating. But 2024 is a new ball game, because Democrats are fighting back and fighting hard, and we're not going to give up. We'll never give up. We just have to work on a message. And the message is the Republicans have no idea what they're doing. They don't have no plans. They know that everything Joe Biden and Democrats put forward. And when you ask them to put what they have as plans, they say, oh, no, just trust us. Elect us and you'll see. A perfect example is with the health care reform. They want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And when Mitt Romney ran, they said, oh, okay, yes, we'll have a plan. But, you know, trust us, just elect us first and you'll see. Up to no. Since then, they haven't had a plan for, you know, comprehensive health care if they get rid of Obamacare. The same thing with immigration. As Carol said earlier in the show, that for 40 years or more, there's no immigration reform. Republicans block every damn thing. So, America listening, vote Democratic. We have a plan. Democrats have a plan. Joe Biden, in his first 2 years, has done anything and everything possible to move America forward from COVID-19, because Donald Trump did nothing. Thousands of people died because of Donald Trump and his stupidity, and Fox News and right-wing media. So don't listen to Republicans. They've failed miserable. Trickle-down economics hasn't worked since Herbert Hoover. So Democrats have a plan. Go to DNC.org and you see that plan. Go to JoeBiden.com and you see that plan. You know, help out Democrats like Melanie Stansberry, you know, Chuck Schumer, the Democrats that's running for re-election in 2024. We need this majority. So that's my final word. Lori?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you have $5 or $3, you know, to give to their campaigns, you know, that money all adds up. If 10 people do that, that's $30. If, you know, and so on and so on. So, yes, give to the people, give to the candidates that are running. We know that these campaigns cost millions of dollars now. So, yeah, if you have extra dollars and, you know, give what you can. Spread the word. Go on social media and you know, talk about the candidate that you're excited about. So we need to win 2024. We need to save our democracy. And we at Kitchen Politics 123 are democracy defenders.
Yes. Yes, we are. And we thank everybody for calling in. Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia. You know, good speaking to you tonight. Kelly from Lansing, Michigan. We love what you said tonight. Thank you so much for contributing. And, of course, Carol in Illinois. You know, Carol has a wealth of information, a lifetime of experience in what she did in taking care of people with health problems, mental health problems and everything. So, you know, maybe she can help Republicans because they're mentally ill. They're crazy, you know. And, you know, from George Santos to Donald Trump and everybody in between, they need to get out of politics totally because they're destroying America. We deserve better.
Yes.
So
yes.
Until next time, Sunday coming up is the next show, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time. This has been Kitchen Politics for October 5th, 2023. The title tonight was Season 5, Episode 39, the GOP's on Civil War. I hope they kill each other. Till Sunday, same time, same place. This is David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Picka from Michigan. We'll see you all and love you all. Bye now.
Trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been keeping you in bed. I've been sleeping in my bed. In my bed. your show family, all the blood that I will be. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I went wrong. I can write a song. I belong. You belong in my dreams. Oh, I belong. You belong in my dreams. Thank you.